We're going to begin the Megillah of Eicha, Lamentations. The Megillah actually appears first in the book of Jeremiah. We are taught that the Navi Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, he is the one that compiled Megillat Eicha. Yirmiyahu was a kohen. Yirmiyahu had a student named Baruch ben Neriah, who would ultimately be the Rebbe of Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe. So the Navim in Yirmiyahu, what's called the 36th chapter, it says in the fourth year of Yoyakim, the king of Judea, Yirmiyahu had the following prophecy. Hashem said to him, take a Megillah, take a scroll of parchment, and write what I'm going to tell you about Judea. And maybe they'll hear what I'm intending to do, and they'll repent, and then I will forgive them. So Yirmiyahu summons Baruch ben Neriah, and Yirmiyahu tells him what to write, and Baruch ben Neriah writes down what Yirmiyahu tells them. And then Yirmiyahu tells Baruch, I am here in captivity, the king put me in prison, so I cannot take this scroll to the king and read it before him. You take the scroll and you read the words of Hashem on a day where everyone unites. It's a fast day. The word Tzom means unification. The word Tzom is a day of unity. It's when everyone unites. And when everyone's there, it's a public setting, the king is there, read this scroll. Maybe, when everyone's united, they'll hear the scroll and they will pray and repent because Hashem is very upset. So Baruch ben Neriah takes the scroll, and it is the fifth year of Yoyakim. It is the ninth month, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, of Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. So it's the wintry month of Kislev. It's the middle of the winter. And they declared a day where everyone should fast and unite and come up to the temple. Everyone comes up to Jerusalem. And when everyone's there, so Baruch ben Neriah reads the scroll in front of all the people. And when they hear what he's read, so then Michayu tells him what he's heard from Baruch ben Neriah. And they summon him to bring the scroll. Bring the scroll to the king. So Baruch ben Neriah has just read it to the public. And he comes. They tell him, please sit down and read it. We want to hear it. So he reads it before the nobles. They get very scared. And when the nobles hear it, they say, well, tell the king what you just told us. So then they ask Baruch, how'd you write such a scroll? And he says, Yirmiyahu told me, and whatever he said, I wrote. So they tell Baruch, you better hide, you and Yirmiyahu. And the nobles take the scroll, and they tell the king that they've heard of this scroll. So the king summons and has the scroll brought to him. And as he's reading it, the king is sitting in the winter, and there's a fire burning before him. And the man reads the first three verses, and when he hits the fourth verse, so the king grabs a knife and cuts it and throws it into the fire. And no one got scared, even though the king just took a prophetic scroll and threw it into the fire. And everyone hears it, and no one tears their clothing. And the king says, take Baruch and Yirmiyahu, and they can't find them. They've both been hidden. So Hashem tells Yirmiyahu, now I want you to take a new scroll and write down everything you wrote in the first scroll that was burnt by Yoyakim the king, and tell Yoyakim, you burnt this first scroll. Why? Because I wrote on it that the Babylonian king will come and destroy the land and exile everyone. Hashem tells him, Yoyakim, you won't have a continuation on the Davidic throne. Your own carcass will be thrown out and will be on the earth hit by the sun and the cold, and I will punish your descendants. And then Yirmiyahu takes another scroll and he writes down, and then he adds an equivalent amount to what he had written earlier. So Chazal say, what does that mean? So Chazal say, the first scroll that was presented to Yoyakim the king had chapter 1 of Eicha. These are Jewish chapters. This is not like other chapters in Tanakh. Chapter, how do we know? Because the chapter 1 of Eicha is the Aleph base. Verse 1 is Aleph, Eicha. Verse 2 is Beis, Bacho. Verse 3 is Gimel. So the scroll had chapter 1, 2, and 4. And after he burnt it, Yirmiyahu added another chapter. Chapter 1, 2, and 4 are chapters that have the Aleph base in order. Chapter 3 is the added chapter, and chapter 3 has 3 verses for every letter of the Aleph base. So if the original scroll had 3 sets of Aleph base, the final scroll, the Eicha that we have, has 6 sets of Aleph base. Because it has the first 3, chapter 1, 2, and 4, and it has the added chapter, chapter 3. That's introductory. The Megillah was actually written long before the destruction, decades before the destruction. The Megillah speaks in past tense about the destruction, and that was what was so jarring. Yirmiyahu wanted them to realize this is really going to happen, and they're not realizing it. So Yirmiyahu writes a scroll that speaks in the past tense about the great destruction. Lamentations is a sad Megillah. That's its purpose. Right? It's supposed to arouse the people to repent, to hear about how the destruction would look in hindsight. He's foreshadowing hindsight, right? He's talking in the future how you'll look back at the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And that's why I very often shy from learning Eicha here, because a student that shows up to Machon Meir for 2 months needs to focus on the happiness of the Torah. It's true that a component of our growth is also a recognition of destruction, a recognition of where the Jewish people's faults have brought them. Part of rectifying what we did wrong is understanding the gravity of what was done wrong and the outcome of what we did wrong. And that's why it is an important component, but it's not the first component. And in Machon Meir, where we're starting out, this isn't the first point to focus on. We work on tshuva me'ava, tshuva out of happiness, out of strength, out of a positive vision forward. That's the tshuva we have to work on in our generation. Eicha and the fast days take us to another level of tshuva. It's a different level. It's a different stage. It's the ability to look back and say, this is the destruction that came about from the mistakes. I think most of the students at Machon Meir don't have to do this type of tshuva. Because a student at the Machon, if he's in the gear department, so he never did anything wrong, right? A person who's a ger is a tzaddik. He just started out. He's got nothing. He's got and if it's a person who's chozer b'tshuva, then 99% of the time they never knew different, right? This is not the tshuva we have to focus on in Machon Meir, and nonetheless, this is a component of Judaism, of Torah, and of the Jewish year. So, you guys wanted to study Eicha, we're going to start Eicha. I want to take a vote. Do you want me to read it with a traditional Ashkenazi tune? I can't do Sfaradi, I don't know. Yes? I don't know. You'll teach me one day, okay? Come back and teach me. How many people want the traditional Ashkenazi tune? Yeah? Okay. The Seder. So we'll begin. And again, we're going in the order of the Aleph Beis. Eicha Yasheva Vadad Ha'ir Rabat Yam Hayeta Ke'almana. How has the city that used to have such masses of people, how has that city come to sit alone like a widow? Not really a widow. Hashem has not died. Hashem has not forsaken us. But we're like a widow. The city that used to be bustling with people now is desolate. It's sitting all alone. Rabati vagoyim. The city was known to be great among nations. Everyone marveled at the brilliance of the merchants who came from Jerusalem. They were very, very smart and very, very sharp. Sarati b'medinot hayeta lamas. The city that used to control other cities. Jerusalem was a metropolitan. the kings of Jerusalem at times would control many, many other countries. It was the city where everyone wanted to have a hotel. It's like Switzerland today. Everyone has to have a Swiss bank account. So in ancient times, everyone had to have a villa in Jerusalem. You weren't considered an important king unless you had a villa in Jerusalem, and people would visit. They'd migrate. They'd come once a year to spend in the Waldorf Astoria in Jerusalem. Hayetal Amas. But now, the city is being destroyed. The city is being taxed. Weep, does that city weep through the night? And her tears keep pouring down her cheek. And all those lovers who made believe they liked her, suddenly no one's there to comfort her. And that is the way it goes with lovers. It's short-lived. It's not real. It has no depth. And that's the relationship Jerusalem repeatedly had with the nations. Nations would feign their affection. They would say, we want you to be one of us. We want to make a peace treaty with you. We want to work with you. But when push came to shove, and we were in trouble, so our enemies turned their backs on us. And none of them were there to comfort us. On the contrary, our neighbors who used to do commerce with us were the first to come in and try to plunder us. The Egyptians who had a peace treaty with us didn't live up to their end of the deal. They didn't come out to help us defend ourselves against the invasions. All her friends turned traitors on her. They became her enemies. So Chazal say, why does the Pasuk say, weep, she repeatedly weeps on the night. Chazal say, the night was dedicated to be a night of weeping. From the time that the Jewish people wept needlessly, because the spies came back and turned them against Hashem, from that time onward, it was declared in heaven that this would be a night of destruction. As we know, both temples were destroyed on this night, and many other calamities befell the Jewish people on this night. Galeta Yehuda Meoni Umerov Avodah. Judea was exiled out of poverty and forced servitude. Chazal say the Pasuk has an alternate meaning. The Pasuk doesn't describe only how we were exiled, that they impoverished us and put us to work, but the Pasuk is also explaining the cause. Why were we exiled? Me'oni. Because people were afflicting the poor. People were taking advantage of the orphans and the widows. Umerov Avodah, because Jerusalem was the export center of paganism. It says all over the world people were worshipping idols manufactured, made in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of idol worship and manufacturing. Umerov Avodah, and there was so much service of all kinds of pagan gods in Jerusalem. Chazal say, Hashem maintains a balance in the world. Wherever there's tremendous spirituality, there's also tremendous Yetzer Hara for the exact opposite. And that's why Jerusalem was also the place where people burnt their babies alive for idol worship. Where you have the potential for great heights in spirituality, you have the exact and opposite potential for great depths in spiritual defilement. He Yashiva Vagoyim Lo Matzea Manoach. Even when Israel was exiled among the nations, she couldn't find rest. Why? So Chazal say, Merov Avodah. They made their servants work and they wouldn't let them rest. Hashem says, let your servants free after 6 years. They didn't do that. Jews would hold on to their fellow Jews and never let them go. He yashvav agoyim, and that's why the punishment was that when Judea was exiled, lo matza manoach, the people never had rest. They were forced to work and forced to travel, what's called the wandering Jew. Kol rodefeha hisigua All those who chased her would catch her in between the fields. When you're running, when you suddenly have an upward slope, so that's where people start stumbling and they get caught. So when you plow a field, so as you're plowing, you're pushing along the dirt. At the edge of each field, there's a place where the field rises. That place is called Mitzarim, the end of the field. Beina Mitzarim are between the two slopes. So the Megillah is describing that they were running from the enemy, and whoever chased her caught her in between the two slopes at the edges of the two fields. Chazal said the term Beina Mitzarim is between two borders. Chazal say, what are the two borders? Shivasar B'Tamuz and Tishamah. Throughout our history, our enemies have caught up to us Beina Mitzarim, between these times. And that's become the name of the 3 weeks, right? Beina Mitzarim, the period between the two boundaries of bad things that happened to us. Shivas Ab Tamuz and Tisha B'Av. Darchei Tzion Avelot. The paths of Zion are now in mourning. Whenever the prophets were warning us, we didn't want to listen. Hashem kept telling us the paths are not going to be so bustling in the destruction. But now, no one ascending to the temple on the holidays. The paths are in mourning. Chazal say the pasuk is to be read the other way around. Because they didn't ascend to the temple on the holidays when the temple was built, that's why they were punished, that the pathways became in mourning, that no one can ascend. Kol she'areha shomimin kohaneha nenachim. All her gates are desolate, and her kohanim are sighing. Betuloteha nugot vehimala. The virgins, betuloteha nugot, they are saddened, they are weeping. The word nugot, Rashi says, has the root of one letter, gimel. It's an interesting Rashi. The root of nugot is one letter, gimel. So her virgins, instead of being the source of happiness, they are weeping. Chazal say the pasuk is describing the two periods when they used to celebrate, the 15th of Av and the 10th day of Tishrei, where they used to dance and get shiduchim. So they had a massive party to get the singles together to get shiduchim, so that no longer would take place. Hayu, we're up to the fourth verse. Remember, the king read the first four verses, and he was okay with it. When he hit the fifth verse, that's when he tore it to smithereens. Why? Because every verse that he heard, he figured, I'm still king. When he heard the fifth verse, then he heard, Hayut Sareha Lerosh Oyeveha Shalu. Her enemies, they became her leaders. When he heard that, then he refused to hear the continuation of the Megillah, and he cut it up. The pasuk says, Hayut Sareha, those who afflict her, her enemies, they were Lerosh. They were the heads of Israel. That's what happened with the destruction. Oyeveha Shalu. Her enemies sat in tranquility, like shalva. Ki Adonai hoga al rov pesha'eha. Because Hashem made her weep over the tremendous rebellious transgressions. Olaleha halechu shevi lifnei tzar. Her youngsters, olaleha, the babies, were led into captivity before the enemy. When the Jews were led into captivity, so they purposely stripped them naked. They forced the Jews to go into captivity like animals. The Jews were led into captivity where the men, women, children were led like animals purposely to demoralize them. They were, food and drink was withheld from them. If they were walking too freely, they were put into shackles. If they were walking and they seemed like they had too much strength, they would shackle up two or three people together and just put a pole on them so that they'd be weighed down as they went. The intention was to break their spirit. And so they're being exiled. And from Zion, the people of Zion, all glory was vanquished. Hayusareha. Her leaders, her nobles, were ke'ayalim lo matzu mireh. They were like young goats who can't find anything to eat. Vayelechu velochoach lifnei rodef. And they're being chased by the enemy, and they have no strength to run. And that's how the leaders were being tormented as they were being led out of Jerusalem. Now remember, all of this is prophetic. Yirmiyo is writing in past tense what actually happened, but he's writing it long before it happened. Zacherah Yerushalayim. Jerusalem remembers Yimei Yonyah Umrudeha, the ancient days, the days when she was suffering, the days when she was destroyed. Kol Machamudeha, she remembered all the pleasant times as well. Asher hayu mimei kedem, from ancient times. Binfol Ama biyad tzar, the nation was given in the hands of the enemy. Ve'ein ozer la, and no one stood up to help her. Ra'u atzarim sachaku al mishbateha, her enemies saw her and laughed. Her enemies looked at her and said, how funny is it that you, who are so pampered, are now suffering? Sachaku al mishbateha, they laughed at them. Chazal say, what were they laughing at? When we were exiled to Babylon, the Jews started keeping Shabbos. So the Babylonians said, in Israel you didn't keep Shabbos. Now you're in Chutzarts, you're keeping Shabbos? Sachaku, they laughed, al mishbateha. What are you keeping Shabbos in Chutzarts for? You didn't keep it when you were in Israel. The Jews were trying to do tshuva. Okay, we covered 7 psukim. And I covered it rather quickly to get pshat. Now let's go back and see some midrashim on what we just saw. Eicha, the letters of the word Eicha. Maybe we'll divide it into another recording.